there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Channel Radio. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 30th of June with me, Paul Andrews, and the world famous Joe Dodds.
World famous. I'm not sure if I am anymore.
Really?
Well, somebody probably knows me in Australia, maybe.
For the listener in the world that doesn't know Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, she's always been known as the famous Joe Dodds. And I don't even know how that came about.
Have you got a minute for me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I was at a conference many years ago when I first started using social media.
Yeah.
And there was a lady called Nicola Bird, who's quite well known in the coaching industry. And I went up to her because I was on her mailing list. And I said, oh my God, just thought I'd come and introduce myself. Hi, Nikki. I'm Joe Dodds. I'm on your mailing list. And she went, oh my God, the famous Joe Dodds is on my mailing list. And I went, No, you're the famous Nicola Bird. I'm on your list. And she said, oh, I'm going to have to be careful what I write now that I know that you're reading what I write. And I was like, right, okay, this is a bit weird. And then I realised that because of my social media presence, I'd got more well-known than I thought, although that obviously was my intention.
Yeah.
And then I started telling the story when I was training and teaching and speaking about social media, and then people started tweeting that they'd met the famous Joe Dodds and they would put it on their blogs and everything else. And it just grew from there, which then was an extra element to the story, which is how important storytelling is in lots of things, including marketing.
Is it?
Yes.
So you need to tell stories.
You do, yes.
Can you
ones sometimes.
Can you exaggerate? You see, you got that in before I said anything, didn't you? Yeah.
So
I've told you a million times don't exaggerate.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So there you go, see? You didn't know I'd know that, but that is, I still talk about it. It's still part of my intro on some of my speeches.
So. Oh, so you haven't changed your stick then? It's still the same thing?
Well, that's why I'm the famous Joe.
Exactly, and quite right too. Quite right too. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. We've got a couple of very interesting guests to talk to in a moment. We've got loads of tweets piling up here. I'll just read a couple of tweets and an email or two, and then we'll start to talk to our two studio guests. We've had a tweet from a new listener, Viva Drinks, who say they're listening to the Business Bunker Show. They are asking me how to get in contact. I will tweet you the details, but if anybody wants to contact us, on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, there's a big button that says Contact. And if you click that, you can send me a message.
Yeah,
so do feel free to do that.
Yeah.
Or you can just email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. It's not a secret. Liz J, Nurse Liz, over there in Maryland in the USA, has tweeted in. And she says, I'm listening to the Business Bunker Show, and I'm currently plotting Paul's much-needed vacation to the United States. Well, thank you for that, Liz.
Lovely.
Yeah. What's going on there, for those that don't know, is Jules has blagged a trip to New York in a couple of weeks' time, and she's trying to arrange some kind of get-together for our American listeners and some of our guests and stuff like that. So we will see what happens. And the lovely Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, has also tweeted in saying that she is busy baking cakes on a hot day listening to the Business Bunker Show, and she makes the most gorgeous cakes to sell.
She does. It makes your Facebook, whatever it's called. I should know, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Wall thingy.
Timeline.
Timeline, that's it. Look really good.
That was
it,
the world famous social media guru, Joe Dodds, getting hung up on what you call a Facebook thingy.
Yeah, we don't have to tell people that anymore. They sort of know, don't they? But anyway, yes, it does make your timeline look very nice with lovely cakes.
Cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah, lemon drizzle cake to die for. Mm. Absolutely fabulous.
Mm.
Right, a couple of FSB events. There's a Women in Business Inspiration Hour, and there's a great lineup of speakers there, including Dame Kelly Holmes, lots of other speakers. Do check it out. It's at the Lowry Dining Room at the Tunbridge School in High Street, Tunbridge, and it's taking place on Thursday, the 9th of July, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30
in the afternoon. That is an hour, though.
Sorry?
Didn't you call it Inspiration Hour?
Yeah.
Isn't that 3 hours or something?
Yeah, but you know what? No, I nearly said something there. You nearly lulled me into a false sense of security in which I made some misogynist remark that would get me, alongside Sir Tim Hunt, sacked from everything for being a misogynist. And I nearly fell for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure they've got lots of interesting things to do during the hour that's going to take three, basically. Or something.
Or,
stop digging.
Or the inspirational 3 hours didn't quite sound so funky
yeah,
as the
exactly.
title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Maybe it's three inspirational hours
one
back
after
to back.
The other. Could well
exactly.
be.
Exactly. So there's
yes.
three inspirational speakers, one of whom is Dame Kelly Owens. If you want to book that, as Joe Dodds, media guru, keeps telling me that the links don't work on the radio, if you go to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, blog pages, there is an FSB events blog, and all the links do work on there for you to book it and find out all about it. And there's also a networking event taking place in conjunction with the FSB and Chapel Down Wine at the vineyards there in Tenterton, and that's on the 14th of July, 6 to 7.30 in the evening. You're invited to a summer evening tour of the award-winning vineyards, where you'll be able to make new contacts and taste locally made wines. It's not to be missed. And if you go to FSB, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, Kent and Medway events, you can book all of those events and see all the up-and-coming events that are there.
Lovely.
Cool.
Do you know what?
What?
I should have brought my wobble cushion.
Your wobble cushion.
I've got pins and needles. You made me sit down for an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we're going to talk to Simon now. So while we're talking to Simon, you can
run
outside and do some running up and down on the spot.
I can go and do some yoga. Isn't it supposed to be yoga day?
Yeah, exactly.
Was
you
that
could
offline
do
offline or online? I can't remember now.
Yeah, something
off
like
air,
that.
On air or whatever.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunk Show for the first time, Mr. Simon Teague of New Level Results. Simon, welcome to the show.
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio and on the show. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about Simon and New Level Results, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I run a company called New Level Results, as mm-hmm. you've said. Mm-hmm. We're based in Kent. We have an office in Discovery Park.
Right.
Started in 2007 in my bedroom, basically, like most great business owners out there.
I know a story about yeah. that, but I'm not going to tell you in a moment. Go on, carry on.
And, you know, it's all very well starting up in business, but I don't think you ever quite know what you're letting yourself in for
sure.
until you do it.
Yeah.
And it was 4 years of hell, really. It was a real struggle.
Mm.
And quite a challenge with, you know, really trying to understand what it was I was trying to achieve, what I wanted to get out there and do. I went initially into leadership and management training.
Right.
That goes back to the days when I started in NatWest Bank. I started at the age of 16 on a week's work experience, which lasted 26 years.
Child labour.
Yes.
Yeah. Typical banks, yeah.
And when it all started going a bit pear-shaped in the banking world, I thought, now's my chance to get out and do something I've always wanted to do, which was going to set up my own business doing leadership and management training.
Right.
And it didn't quite work, to be honest.
It's a very hard business to be in.
Yeah.
That's a business that I was in for a while, and it's really tough because most of us in that business are trainers.
Yes.
And you want to work on all your course material and do all your training, and then you suddenly realise you need to find some customers as well,
yep.
which is always a bit of a pain. Yeah.
And that was exactly what I was doing, I think.
Yeah.
And, of course, 2007 wasn't the best year to start up a business.
No.
But really, that first 4 years involved me finding the odd client, trying to understand my value proposition. Also not making any money, so I had to go and get part-time jobs. I went to work for K College for a bit. And actually, it was there that I had my light bulb moment about what was it I really needed to develop. And I think the college was an experience from the point of view of working with the most dysfunctional group of managers I think I'd ever come across. And it took me back to what I used to do in the bank, which was manage teams.
Yeah.
So I used a program in the bank called Best Year Yet. I contacted the Best Year Yet team and said, you need to get into this college. We need some help. And as I sat at the back of the room when they delivered their kind of first workshop, that was my light bulb moment.
Right.
Sitting there thinking, why aren't I doing this? And I think it's, You know, it's a real shock, isn't it, in the UK that 3 out of 4 businesses fail in the first 4 years. Mm. And I think it's true that I came close a few times. Mm. And sometimes you have to go right back to the drawing board to find out what it is that you, you know, you do, what you're good at, where there's a market. And that's what I did.
Just to annoy Joe, I'm going to name drop again.
Okay.
Some years ago, I was lucky enough to speak on a platform with a chap called Tom Peters. If you've ever heard of him, Tom wrote the very.
Never heard of him.
Tom wrote the very first. My mate Tom wrote the very first management book that became a bestseller.
Good old 1 minute manager.
No,
that was Ken Blanchard, wasn't it?
Yes. That was Ken Blanchard. Yes, he wrote. See, now you've thrown me now.
No, I can't remember either.
Yeah. He wrote.
Look it up. Go on.
Now, you throw me there. I knew exactly what the name of the book was that he wrote, and now I've forgotten completely.
You keep talking, I'll look it up, and we'll look like we got it right all along.
Anyway. In Search of Excellence, which is the very first ever management book that became a bestseller in the general bestseller list. And I was lucky enough to speak on a platform with him at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in...
Just to add to the name dropping.
Yeah.
In London. Really
no, she wasn't there. No, it was just her hall that we borrowed, the QE2 Hall in Victoria.
Yeah.
And he was berated. We had an audience of corporate managers. And he was coming out with this thing that if you haven't failed at least 2 or 3 times by the time you're 30, you just ain't trying hard enough. Mm. And it was then a difference between American culture, business culture, and UK business culture, where failure here was seen as a real, oh, my God. Whereas America, it was seen as a necessary part of the journey on towards doing something. And, you know, I've had loads of businesses failed.
I don't think that's changed that much. I think we talk about it that it's changed, but I don't think there is. I think America is so much more accepted and almost proud to say that you've done that it's not worked and you've learnt from it. And whereas in Britain, some people get that, but in general, it's still not seen in that way, is it?
No, absolutely.
It's not a very positive way, though, is it?
It's attached as a personal failure that you must have failed because you're useless, not because you failed because of all kinds of reasons that you've now learned from and have used as an experience to grow. That is one of the big problems that we do face in this country, is people aren't prepared to take the risk of failure in case they fail.
And
there's nothing wrong.
And risk-averse employers not encouraging people to do that either.
Yeah, absolutely.
But fortunately, you didn't fail.
I didn't fail. And, and so I suppose...
Which is useless of you, Simon. You should have failed.
Really,
come on.
Sorry about that.
We've just picked it up for you.
but I think you're right. You know, what you do is you take away the learning.
Yeah.
And when you've got the learning, then you decide, okay, I just need a slight change of direction or go back to the drawing board, whatever that is. And really, where my business has gone since, which is just phenomenal, is that we went into the kind of coaching arena, working with business owners, helping them to grow their business, using the Best You Yet program as a kind of coaching model. And I've gone from just me now to having 22 coaches all around the UK.
All in your bedroom still.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a squeeze.
I've seen that film. Oh, no.
Hangover Part 3.
Yeah.
It's fantastic because it's moved us into more the corporate arena again.
Right.
But predominantly we work with SMEs.
Right.
All around the UK. I have my clients here in East Kent, so I have about a dozen or so clients I work with.
Right.
And it's really interesting that when we're at the Forging of the Future event, that you know, one of the biggest challenges for us all is growth and how do we grow?
Yeah.
And really it's that very question that in the years of success that we've had with our business, we've helped so many businesses find the answer to that question, really, through good planning, good strategy, really understanding what their value proposition is, understanding what the culture they want to create and the values they want in their business.
Mm.
And that's what we do now year on year with these.
Absolutely. We're going to explore some of this with Jane later as well, some of these outcomes, as you will gather, listener, Simon was one of the delegates at the Forging the Future event. And one of the dichotomies we came out with was that we see the future as being small, smaller businesses, more dynamic and all the rest of it. Mm. And in light of that, what do you do about growing? If the idea is to stay small, how do you grow and stay small at the same time? So you're absolutely right, Simon. You have to look at that in a completely different way. Many years ago, there was one answer. You got bigger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now that isn't the answer. It's probably the only answer that you don't particularly want in general terms. There's all kinds of ways you need to grow. And as you identified, it's about your value proposition, your culture, what you want out of it as a business and as a business owner and where you're going, all those kind of goal-orientated things. Absolutely. Now, before we came on air, you started to mention a very interesting project that you're involved in. And I'd like you to tell the listeners a little bit about that, if you would.
Thank you. Yes. Coaching has taken us into a number of different arenas, so we don't just work with business owners and managers and corporations and individuals, but in recent years we moved into expeditions.
And, oh, well, as you would.
Yeah. As you would. And,
let's go!
But, you know, I suppose there's a link there with sports and expeditions in some respects. Yeah. If you were going into sports and you're serious about sports, you want to be in the Olympics, be on the podium, you wouldn't dream of doing that without a coach.
Sure.
And that's becoming more and more of a realisation, I think, for business owners and for people looking to do something completely off the wall. So we met these four ladies who were planning to give up their jobs and raise awareness for women in adversity.
Right, okay.
And by women in adversity, we mean... you know, women as a whole in the world,
right?
You know, in many countries are quite downtrodden.
Yep, yep.
There are many war zones and many women amputees and sufferers in war zones.
Mm-hmm.
And also the challenges that women face with cancer in particular and some really nasty, horrible cancers out there. So they wanted to raise awareness and money for women in adversity.
Right.
And to do that, they decided that they were going to put themselves in the most adverse situation you could ever be in.
Well, it came around my place.
Apart from my bedroom or your place. They wanted to row across the Pacific Ocean.
Good grief. Okay.
Wow. Now, I can name drop in a minute.
Yeah,
okay. Carry on.
Now, the enormity of this task is that if the world was a disc, the diameter of the world is 7,900 miles.
Right.
Rowing from San Francisco to Cairns in Australia, which is the full width of the Pacific Ocean, is 8,446 miles.
Wow.
At top speed, they'll be roughly about two miles an hour.
Wow.
So they have to basically, to work that, have two rowing and two sleeping.
Mm. Right, okay. So there's four women. Okay.
So there's four of them.
Yep.
And that means sleeping for 2 hours and then getting up, putting all your gear on and rowing for 2 hours. And then going back, getting your gear off, sleeping for 2 hours. 2 hours on, 2 hours off.
Yeah.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 7 months.
Good grief.
7 months.
In oceans where the waves are the size of houses.
Yeah.
And it's been incredible. There were two parts to our plan. One was to get them there. So how do you give up your job? Right. How do you go and raise all the money you need to? How do you get sponsors? How do you ask people for cash? How do you buy a boat that's £100,000? It's only a rowing boat, but it's £100,000 because it's a specialist boat. And we've got them all the way to San Francisco, which is fantastic. They're now at sea.
Right.
They've been at sea for 62 days.
Wow.
Good grief.
On day 16, they got hit by an enormous wave which cracked the side of the boat and the seal.
I want my money back.
And water were coming in.
Yeah.
So they literally had to turn around and go all the way back again.
Oh, no.
And I think the analogy for business owners is how many of us start up, how many of us set out with a plan, and then we get hit by something we didn't expect.
Sure.
This is day 16 of the 62, so they're really on day 40-something of the whole journey now because they've had to start
that's
again.
That's true. Yeah, so they have to go
She's
back.
Very good at arithmetic.
She's very good at numbers, isn't she?
I'm just checking, you know, whether they've done the 62 already
now.
Yeah,
no, they haven't,
got
that. I've got
that. They've done more than that, in effect.
Yeah,
I've got some of their blogs here. I'm not going to get a chance to read them all out, but I'd love to read one or two extras.
Yeah, do.
Definitely.
It's a real insight to what they're trying to do. The key to it is that they had a plan. They had a very clear plan. They have one of my best coaches who works with them. They look at their plan every single day, like the ingredients to a cake, and they really follow that, both in their mindset, their physical state, exactly their process of what they need to do. So shall I read you a bit of it?
Yeah, just read us a bit of it.
We can come back. I need to put my glasses on now. Okay, so this was day 15 when they were about when they were already starting to get into some really serious weather.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even think about crossing the channel, especially not in a force 9 gale. This is bigger than a force 9 gale in the Pacific.
Right, absolutely.
So imagine, if you will, being on a roller coaster. Now imagine being on a roller coaster without being strapped in. This is what being on board Doris, which is the name of the boat.
Well, it would be.
On deck, the roller coaster is cold and windswept, the track being waves the size of large houses, which can come from any direction. Add to this a thorough dousing with freezing cold water every couple of minutes and being thrown off your seat by the odd errant wave. Losing your stomach, falling off the top of a wave, is happening rather a lot today. The outside roller coaster also comes with thousands of jellyfish, which the sea is full of. The unlucky ones of these get washed up on Doris and are permanently housing 3 or 4 blue blobs. And you think, wow, they sound pretty adverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it gets too bad, they have to climb in and lock down and just ride it.
Right.
Yeah.
And the boat's designed like a cork, so worst case it'll bob.
Yeah, sure.
But they will spin in it as well, so it's like being in a washing machine.
Mm.
Wow.
And if I get a chance, I'd love to share their website with
you. Yeah, no, absolutely, you can. Absolutely, you can do that. You can tell us on air, and then we'll also put it up on the radio website so that people can follow it up.
Yes, yes. It's on Twitter, it's at Coxless Crew.
Coxless Crew, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's another bit of a blog, but I don't know whether you'll let me read it. But,
go for it.
If we get time.
No, go for it now.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it now.
Okay.
He's heard your hard taskmaster, clearly.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. This is them now. This is where they are now, which is at halfway to Hawaii.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So they're Hawaii, Samoa, Cairns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their patron is Kylie Minogue, and they're being coached by people like Sir Steve Redgrave and Sir Ranulph Fiennes in other areas of the... So we're part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. During every daytime rowing shift that passed by today, the constant in view as I stared at the expanse of water stretching around me in all directions was plastic.
Plastic?
Not sea. It was plastic.
Mm. Okay.
We've seen numerous pieces of varying sized plastic debris floating by on a daily basis, but the frequency with which now we're starting to see the debris is quite alarming.
Right.
And she goes on to describe the fact that the Pacific currently has 5 trillion pieces of plastic.
I've seen photographs of that, whole islands of plastic bags and bits of plastic rubbish. Yeah.
And again, you know, the analogy for us as business owners is, you know, we have a responsibility, I think, to really do what we can, making sure that this is a little planet. Mm. It might be 8,446 miles, but it's a very small planet, and we need all to really take more responsibility, I think, about what do we do with our waste.
Absolutely.
Where does it go? Where does it end up?
Absolutely.
And make sure that we're doing as much as we can. But she's talking here about they caught a fish,
right?
And the fish had elements of plastic in it, and the fact that the fish. These toxic chemicals are getting into the fish.
Right. Mm.
The fish are in our food chain.
Yeah.
We
Absolutely.
All eat fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here she's saying, toxic chemicals are absorbed by the plastic and entering the food chain can be found inside these fish, including the ones consumed by humans. Some of the health effects linked to these chemicals are cancer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, again, their wish to raise awareness and raise money for as much as we can do around cancer care. And work around that, because I think it's really, really important. So it's a fascinating journey.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'd like to hear more about it, so we're going to invite you back on at a later stage and you can update us with some of that. For the moment, Simon, can you give us a shout for their website and your website?
Yes, so our website is newlevelresults.co.uk.
Okay.
And all of their... There's a whole piece on the Coxless Crew there as well.
Fantastic. There is a link to New Level Results on the Kent Business Radio website already.
Great. Yep. Oh, thank you very much. And their website is simply coxlesscrew.com.
I can't even say that. Coxlesscrew.com. Fantastic.
With an X.
Right. Yeah.
Twitter, at Coxless Crew. They've been... blog in every day and tweet every day, and they give some really big numbers about some of the things that they've been going through, and the alarm clock's gone off 696 times. That kind of thing. There's one important number, if I could read.
Of course.
Which is 70,300.
Which is
70300.
The amount of strokes they rode.
No, it's actually their what you can do with your phone, and you can text.
Right.
70300.
Oh, right. Okay.
With the name Doris. So if you text 70300 Doris, that donates £3 to their two main charities, which is Women Amputees and Cancer Care. So
fantastic. We will put that number on the community pages of the website as well, so that people can follow up. Simon, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about that fabulous story and your business expedition as well. We're going to invite you back later in the year to update us on where these guys have got to in their epic journey across the Pacific Ocean. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we'll talk to our next guest now, because time's moving on and we've got loads of interesting things to talk about. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the Business Bunker the lovely Jane Onis, Managing Director of Rift Accounting. And Jane and I have been doing loads of things. Jane's been doing loads of things without me, but we've also been doing loads of things together. And I thought it would be really interesting to talk to Jane and have a recap of where we got to and some of the things we've been talking about, because they are causing quite a stir out there in the business community in terms of people responding to the kind of things that are coming up. So, Jane, welcome back onto the Business Bunk Show. Absolute pleasure to see you. We did the Forging the Future event a couple of weeks ago, and then after that we were both lucky enough to be invited to speak at the Success Summit at Eastwell Manor, where we kind of carried on the conversation talking about those kind of things. And of course, you rather than me have been invited to loads of other places. I think that all kinds of places. I see you pop up on Twitter that you've been invited to speak on various radio shows, the House of Parliament at some stage, and all kinds of places, and hobnobbing with the powerful and famous, which is really brilliant.
I have to see if I can get some name dropping.
I was about to say, come on.
I'm sure you can beat trying to not let her speak because she can out name drop us now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, in your own words, the kind of things that you've been doing and you've been involved in, and then we'll kind of talk about it from there.
Cool. Well, thank you for having me back today.
Pleasure.
It's hot and steamy here in the Business Bunker.
Yeah, the weather's not nice either.
I think summing it up is the discussions we had at the Forging the Future lunch, which was about small is beautiful. Yeah. If I was to summarise everything that's happening, small is beautiful. Mm. In terms of business in the UK, where innovation and growth is happening. And interestingly, there was a very big piece of research that came out about the same time as Forged the Future lunch by the RSA about small business.
Right.
Very in-depth piece of research basically saying that there's more R&D happening in small business. You might not be able to quantify it, but it's definitely happening. Mm. There's more productivity in small business in some of the biggest growth sectors in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that it is the real powerhouse.
Yep.
And I think the other challenge that we had in that discussion around the Forge the Future is what does growing mean, though, when you're a small business and you don't want to get big or to lose control necessarily of your business. Success is as you define it, not necessarily the fact you're creating something massive.
Absolutely. It was interesting. Two things I can chuck in there. I made reference to the radio show we did in the US. The day after that, somebody sent me a link to Forbes magazine, which is the entrepreneur's magazine, very well known in the United States. And they had a whole research article in which they exactly said the same thing. Small is beautiful. Large corporations are now job negative in the United States. Mm-hmm. All 3 million new jobs in the US were created by small and medium-sized businesses in the US. Big businesses are jobs negative. They're shedding jobs at a faster rate than they're employing. But all new innovations are coming out of the small business marketplace. So it's being reinforced around the world in various places too that is indeed the case. And one of the interesting things, Jane, and I think this is where organisations like Rift are really going to come to the fore, is we talked about this whole issue about growth and how you manage growth without letting it get away from you. And we also asked ourselves the question, as business owners and founders, are we an impediment to growth as individuals? You know, do we stop our business growing because it's got beyond our capabilities? And if that's the case, what do we do about it? And that's where I think an organisation like Rift can really play a huge part, because as advisors and helpers and professional support people, that's what you do. really?
Absolutely. And then what I would do is I would chat to my friend Simon here, sat beside me, because using a coach when you're at that point is probably the best investment you can ever make.
Yeah.
Because many people start a business because they love what they do.
Absolutely.
And then once it gets to a certain size, they're trying to run and do everything themselves. And very quickly, it starts to fall apart. So getting a coach to support you in your journey. Critical thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it? I think Simon alluded to this. Really, really top people in the world of sport and entertainment think nothing about having a coach, a mentor, a Svengali even, you know, to use an old-fashioned term. But once we get to business, everybody seems to think you have to do it all yourself, or you're some kind of failure. And I just don't get that. I really don't get that.
The nice thing also at the moment is you can get funding to help you do that. So a national program called Growth Accelerator provides part funding for you to have a coach in your business. And it also provides a grant fund to support some management training. Yeah. So take advantage of that as well.
Absolutely. So let's kind of explain about you did a really interesting talk at the Success Summit at Eastwell Manor. Maybe you'd like to just go over a couple of the points that you were talking about there about creativity of businesses and the new business world. I mean, we live in a different landscape. I don't think people always appreciate this. When you're living through a period of change, you don't see it unfolding around you. It's only when you look back in retrospect and you go, blimey, things changed. You know, and for me, because I'm old and I've been around a long time, I can look back on a period of a life at work in which the most profound changes have happened. You know, I had a corporate job, a bit like Simon, working in banking many years ago, before the mobile phone had been invented and before the internet had been invented, and sadly, before the PC had been invented. And all those things have happened in the last 30 years, which has had a profound effect on everything that happens in business. And you were making reference to some of those things at the Success Summit as well, Jane.
The speed of change is staggering. So if you're in a business and you don't like change, probably best not do it. I talked about a couple of game changers, Uber and Airbnb.
Yeah.
And those two companies between them own neither a taxi or a hotel room.
Absolutely.
But they are have recently been valued at over $10 billion each.
Yeah.
They're now bigger than any taxi or hotel company as it stands on their own.
Yeah.
So what has made their success, what has allowed them to scale their business up at such a speed? And the technology platform that they use has been absolutely key to that in terms of how they can create relationships between customers and clients without having to and allow this sort of this trust to grow between the two. And this thing about collaboration.
I was just going to say, those things are absolute examples of the big finding that we got from Forging the Future. The one big thing that we all agreed on, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that collaboration is the way forward. In the 20th century, it's all about competition. The 21st century so far has been about collaboration, and increasingly. And there are two businesses that rely totally on a collaboration model.
It's all about the shared economy, and that's a bit of a jargony word, but it is the way of the future. And I agree with you that competition is this, we sort of grow up with this thought that actually when you're in business, you have to compete because there isn't enough market to go round.
Absolutely.
But in an economy dominated by lots of small business, the way that they grow and be successful is by collaborating.
Absolutely.
And that means building trust. Yeah. And that's why social platforms are so important, because they can allow you to build trust with potentially somebody who you want to work with.
Absolutely.
So it opens up all sorts of possibilities for you to be successful in your business.
I'm going to have a little bit of a rant, and then we'll come back to you and you can be sensible again. It's one of the things that really annoys me when I talk to people, how many people don't seem to understand, either from an economy point of view, i.e. the money supply, or from a business point of view, that we do not live in a zero-sum world. So many people treat things as if there's one cake, and if I've got more than you, that's some kind of problem. But the world isn't a zero-sum game. It never has been, and it certainly never will be from now on in. It is completely open to growth, because it moves and shifts and changes, and there is no limit to it. There isn't a fixed cake of money. There isn't a fixed cake of work. There isn't a fixed cake of anything. It's very open-minded, and so many people don't understand that and get very paranoid that, you know, if somebody's got loads over there, it must mean they've taken it off of everyone else, and that isn't true. And it's exactly as you were saying, Jane, about people got into the idea that there was only so much work you could do, and if the competition had a bigger share of the market, you were out of the game. But of course, what we've learnt is you can either collaborate, associate, or just change the market.
Mm. I had a really good case study that recently. Have you heard of Amanda Palmer?
I know
Neil Gaiman's wife.
She's an American
musician. And when she was first working, she did a really good TED talk. I'd really recommend it. She was one of those statues, you know, where they paint themselves and then stand still and you pay them and then they move.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So she does a really good thing about how she connected with people in that role. And then people would like drive by going, get a proper job and all this sort of thing. And then she ended up with her band touring, and she used to tweet that they were going to like Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Could anyone put them up? And people would respond, and like 12 of them would turn up and stay at people's houses and things like that.
Yep.
And she said they once went to a really, really poor family's house, and the girl was a real fan. And all the family slept on the sofas and gave them all their bedrooms. And they didn't speak, I think they were Hispanic and they didn't speak English, but they tried to say the next day, you know, thank you so much for coming here and all this sort of thing. And now she sells her, well, not sells, she has an account on Patreon. I don't know if you've heard of it. So when she puts out a video or music now, she gets $18,000 just for doing it because all these people are there supporting her.
Right.
And it's just her, you know, collaborative
scenario
with her fans. And she's not gone to the radio, you know, to a record producer and done stuff with them because she doesn't need to. She just does it all direct through social media,
absolutely,
through the fact that people are all helping for her to do what she wants to do because it makes them happy too.
And just talking about that, the record industry is a fabulous example of a non-closed system.
Mm.
Yeah. When you looked at the old style record industry, it was dominated by four or five big record labels that owned all the rights to all of the music. In the last 20 years, that has completely been radically changed. Back in the day, big super groups used to do tours, mm-hmm, concerts, in order to sell records.
Mm-hmm.
And now they give away records in order to sell concerts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So, Jane, I mean, you guys at Riff there, and you personally have been very active in talking about what's going on in the marketplace, and especially in the small business world over here in our corner of the woods. But how are you seeing things? What are Riff seeing? What kind of things are going on that are exciting you guys, if you see what I mean? What kind of things are you seeing?
I think we're still living in a really buzzy economy, mm, and there are a lot of people who've got great ideas, mm, who are starting up their business and going on that journey. And as Simon described to us, it's often a bit of a roller coaster journey.
Mm.
So surround yourself, find people to collaborate with when you go through that.
Mm.
If you're running a business in Kent, really exciting at the moment is that the last gig that we hung out together at, mm, was the launch of the Kent Independent Traders.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I met some amazing, lovely, lovely business people and owners there.
Yep.
And again, talked about collaboration, and the magic number I used there was the number 7, and because when you're a bunch of starlings all hanging out in the air together and flying around, scientists have proven that the way those starlings manage to fly so carefully together without crashing into each other is 7 birds follow the actions of each other,
right?
And then that pattern ripples through.
I think I know them. Oh, no, I guess. Absolutely.
So
no, absolutely.
Find people to collaborate with. Find people, mm-hmm, who can support you. Surround yourself with a network.
Yeah.
Have a clear plan for what you want to do.
Mm.
There are loads of great people in Kent who will willingly help. And get in contact, mm-hmm, at riftaccounting.com for anything that's keeping you awake or worrying you at night.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, and I'm not schmoozing you just because you're here, this is absolutely true. An organisation like Rift, as an accounting firm, and you do other things as well, I know, but the accounting division of Rift is quite different from a traditional accounting firm, isn't it?
I was about to say, I've not met Jane before or heard of the organisation, and it's exactly what I was thinking just from the conversation now, you know, from what you're saying. It's not
very
not
accounting
what you
expect. Exactly. Yeah, she hasn't mentioned
VAT
once.
But that's truly, in organisations, that's what finance departments in the really good organisations or the really good finance departments are doing. They're actually there driving and supporting the business rather than being the gatekeepers and stopping you doing stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that sounds like how you're operating, which I just think is really good to hear.
So I don't embarrass Jane and make her have to do this. One of the things that Rift are really doing is really shaking up and breaking the mold. They are a very funky organization. They have a very different approach to they're still professional and they're still doing the job that they need to do as accountants, but their whole approach to the market and how they how they portray themselves and how they place themselves in the market is radically shaking up that marketplace. Mm. And that is a general indication of how innovation happens. Mm. You know, the most long-winded or long-lived businesses eventually succumb to change. You know, I had a conversation about a year or so ago with quite a large law firm that are 400 years old, don't you know, who told me absolutely with a straight face that they wouldn't be on social media. And when I pointed out they actually are on social media, they just don't know it, they kind of got a bit concerned and threatened to sue everybody. But, you know.
Funny, I went to a conference run by the Legal Support Network, I think the name is, last week. I was speaking there about employee engagement, and the University of Kent lecturer that was there, Professor, I can't think of his name is now, but anyway, him. And he said, imagine a law firm without lawyers.
Was it Brian Luckhurst?
No.
Head of journalism?
No, okay. I'll think of his name later. Okay. A law firm without lawyers, you know, that's the way we're going. A bit absolutely. Like you're talking about Uber and all that sort of thing, which was like, it got everyone going, okay. But they weren't lawyers in the room, so they were probably okay with that.
No, but absolutely. I can tell you, I had a long conversation with a chap called Andrew Weaver, who runs a website called Lawyer Fair. Mm. And that's exactly what they do. It's a website where you can go onto the website and say, listen, I need some legal advice. Who shall I speak to?
Yeah. So that's what you're saying. Associates would be the route to go rather than the law firms as the old days. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So in defence of my, I've not heard of the company and Jane, I've been very outside of Kent in my business focus for the last few years.
That's
now
not good
going
enough.
To go back inside. So.
It's not good enough. That's just an
it's
excuse.
Not your PR and
you're
marketing,
not paying attention. You're not paying attention.
Yeah, not you, it's me.
And in light of that, Jane, and I know you didn't come here specifically to talk about this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because of the kind of things that Aritha have been doing, you've won a few awards just recently, and your latest triumph was a couple of days ago at KEBA, at Kent Excellence in Business Awards, where you won a couple of awards, I think, but the headline award was customer service. Mm.
Yeah, just one was amazing.
Yeah, no, but I thought you were runners up in a couple of other characters.
No, we just applied for customer service.
Right. Okay. And you won the customer service award, and that's really interesting. That fascinates me, because you don't normally associate a professional services firm, accountants, lawyers, architects, well, maybe architects, but certainly not lawyers and accountants, to win customer service awards.
Yeah, you're normally lucky to be a customer of theirs,
aren't
you?
Basically, yeah. Yes, yes,
I'm a customer of Rift.
Yeah.
And, doesn't surprise me at all. That
no, absolutely. I'm a customer
awards.
Of Rift too, and it doesn't surprise me either. But, you know, I'm talking about the generality of it. You know, it's not normally something you would expect, because that marketplace has been very generic for a long, long time. So it's really interesting stuff.
It came as a huge surprise to Rift to win it. It's not at all arrogant about customer service. It's always thinking it's not doing enough to delight customers. Mm. It's a constant journey of always trying to outstep your customers in terms of what they're going to want next, how you turn a complaint into a great sale, how you're always listening to feedback. And we just constantly want to make it better and better, but it's an ongoing journey.
Of course it is, yeah, absolutely.
But you've got to love your customers. And I think if you come to Rift and you walk in the door, there's a sense that, this is people that loves
absolutely
customers.
And again, it's that collaboration. You know, you view your customers as a collaborative exercise, not an us and them type of thing. You know, you are doing this together, and you are in this together, and you are supporting each other, you know, from both sides of that. And once that mindset starts to take hold, that's when things really start to take off and improve and go places, because you just got a different view of what you're doing, basically. I don't want to pre-announce anything, but we are thinking about doing some other things later in the year, and we will be talking about that once we've got any idea what on earth it is we're actually going to do. But have you got any plans in the pipeline? Are you visiting things? What have you got on the go next, Jane, do you know?
Well, the thing I'm keeping a watching brief on, actually short term, is next week is we've got George Osborne next Wednesday doing the mini budget, and I'll be at the House of Parliament.
Wow.
Name dropping, and I think she's beat you. I think that was it.
That's the big one.
And I think that's worth paying attention to for businesses, because it's where George Osborne has said that he will be enshrined filing in law, change of fixing VAT rates and corporation tax, but I'm interested to see what else he comes out of the bag. Obviously, he's looking at £12 billion of cuts to benefits. So that's important in the short term to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, on that, somebody tweeted earlier, a lady called Anne Tremaine, who's a writer for the Times. She's obviously in sketch writing in the Houses of Parliament today because it's Business Innovation and Skills Day today. And she was saying how they're all baldies in the BIS. So I just sort of tweet her and say there's nothing wrong with being bald in business.
No.
You guys wouldn't want to do that, but for me, that's fine. So that's and also next week, Jane, you will be at the B2B at Ashford International on the Riff Stand, I guess.
On the Riff Stand and running a workshop at 12 o'clock and at the B2B event around game changers. So if you're interested in finding out more about companies like Uber and Facebook and what the secrets of their success are, I'll be talking about that.
So go along to Jane's workshop at the B2B Kent at the Ashford International Hotel. The event is between 9 and 4 p.m. next Tuesday. What time are you on? 12?
12 o'clock.
Okay. 12
and,
o'clock.
We're looking forward to having you... Paul, you'll be there roving around.
I will be there with my little microphone, roving around and
lovely.
Annoying people and interviewing people.
Love
and stuff like that.
Love your interviews.
So it'll be a good day again, and then I'm going to hot foot it back here.
Yeah.
No, I am going to hot foot it back here, is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hot foot it back here and do the show in the afternoon, which is great, and we've got a great lineup of guests again next week. Jane, much success with that. Keep on keeping on with the fabulous work that Riff are doing. Many congratulations to you and the whole team at Riff Group for your awards, which are very well deserved, as Simon says. A lot of us are customers of your organisation, and we really do think that you're doing a fabulous job, and we love what you do. For the moment, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If you want to find out more about Riff, they are all over the Kent Business Radio website. There's links to every area of Riff, because as well as the accounting division, Riff Group do R&D tax credits and Riff Research. There are a number of divisions. All of them can be found, the links to their various websites and blogs. And there's some interesting downloadable resources that Riff make available if you're thinking of starting a business. So do go into that, have a look at it, and download some of those free resources to help you get your business up and running. They are very valuable. For the moment, Jane, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Business Bunker Show. Absolute pleasure to see you.
Thank you. I'll go and look as well, and then I'll know all about you.
You would, yeah.
I find my professor. It's Professor Richard Skays, who is apparently one of the world's leading business forecasters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've done my own bit of name dropping now.
Richard used to be at the University of Manchester for many, many years. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realise he was at Kent. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, have you got an email to read?
I have, yes.
Would you like to do that?
Yes, I can talk about Sandwich Sports and Leisure Centre Trust. They had a successful visit from their new MP. Mm-hmm. It's operated by Freedom Leisure on behalf of the centre's trustees, and Craig McKinley, their new MP for South Thanet, went there. During the visit, he showed his support for the future development of the centre and his appreciation of the existing facilities provided for the local community and schools by this independent self-funding trust.
Cool.
Yeah, they were able to share with Mr. McKinley their strategic long-term plan for the centre, which includes additional indoor studio facilities, therapy rooms, dedicated spin room, an expansion of the weights and resistance training facilities, and eventually the plan is for expansion into adjacent land to provide extra car parking for centre clients, a floodlit artificial grass hockey pitch, and an indoor swimming pool.
Wow. I heard a mail from the FSB Business Unit talking about the new European Parliament approval of cross-border insolvency. The European Parliament has approved a cross-border insolvency regime that will give viable firms a chance to recover from their financial difficulties. An estimated 50,000 of the 200,000 firms in the European Union that face insolvency each year have creditors in another member state. That can result in complicated legal proceedings. So the Parliament has put in place a new regime which will simplify the proceedings by clarifying jurisdiction and helping relevant parties to cooperate across borders. As we find out more about that, we'll put a link to that. But it's a discussion document at the moment they are hoping to bring about, and that could make life easier for those of you that unfortunately have got into difficulties within the European Union with various businesses. We've had a tweet from Towers Design, young Ben, who says, I'm listening to the Business Bunker Show with Joe Dodds and Vanilla Webb. And
I'm glad you mentioned me first, thank you.
That's all right.
Maybe it was just alphabetical.
Well, he didn't actually mention me.
Oh, he did it the other way around.
No, he didn't actually mention me. I just put me
fair.
In there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't mention you at all?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
They've also tweeted about Social Marley. Which is Ben, for those of you who don't know, is a 16-year-old entrepreneur. who owns a company called Towers Design. He's been in business since he was 11.
Wow.
He has 15 employees.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I want to introduce little Dodsy to him.
Absolutely.
And, for business purposes, not...
No. Don't worry.
I didn't mean it for any romance or anything. She's only 8. But I mean for, you know, future sort of
Yeah, but he's not much older. Yeah.
I know.
Ben is just about, or has just launched, a whole new product called Social Marley. Mm-hmm. And Social Marley is a social media dashboard. And he is currently crowdfunding that. So do go and check out on crowdfunding Social Marley and put a few pennies into it, because it'll be worth a while.
Is there a link on the tweet?
On that particular tweet, there isn't.
Can you tweet me with the link, please?
I will tweet you the link. He didn't put it on that particular link. If he's listening, Ben, tweet the link, but I will tweet the link out again. And that's Social Marley. You can follow Social Marley on the Twitter. It's all one word, Social Marley, M-A-R-L-E-Y.
Do you think that's named after the dog?
Considering his avatar is a dog, there's a fair chance.
Marley and me, yes.
Yeah, there's a fair chance.
I'd love him even more.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm old enough to have thought it was kitchen tiles.
Yes.
But never mind.
No.
And Val Witter of I-54 New Media has tweeted reinforcing what Adrian was saying earlier about pets and hot cars. So, yeah, do watch that.
Starting to feel like that in here now.
Yeah.
How much longer? 5 minutes.
Yeah. And Lisa Settle has been collecting a petition to stop me turning the webcam on in here, because she really didn't want to see me in Speedo. Yes. So thank you for that, Lisa. And the Whitstable Stove Shop has also tweeted to say, just got back in time to hear the Business Bunker show. So thank you, Mark, and the team over there at Whitstable Stove Shop for joining us on the Business Bunker show. We're kind of fast running out of time. Is there anything you need to read that's kind of time sensitive there, Jo?
Yeah, there's something on the 7th to 9th of July at Bruntingthorpe Proving Ground, Leicestershire. Why have I got this?
Oh, that's from...
Light Commercial Vehicles.
Yeah, that's from Rob James, who's a local chap that's organising it.
I was about to go, it's Bruntingthorpe in Kent, and then I thought, no, it does say Leicester. Yeah. So that's for light commercial vehicle show. So they've got 13 manufacturers represented at the event. So if you're interested in LCVs, then that might be of interest. 7th
yeah, get
to 9th,
on to it. Yeah.
Driveitat.com.
Yeah.
Driveitat.com.
Rob James, who's organising the event, is a local chap here, and it's an annual event they do for the light vehicle and van using public, and a very good event it is too.
Lovely.
Cool. You can do one last one and then we're going to go.
Okay. You're invited to the Thames Gateway Kent Partnership Summer Business Breakfast. Did I do that before on another bit of paper? 14th of July, hosted by Chairman Rob Bennett, to share news information about opportunities and challenges facing businesses in North Kent today. Guest speakers include Gordon Jones, Creston Reeves, Dawn Hudd, Institute of Economic Development, Robin Cooper, Chief Executive of Ebbsfleet Development Corporation, and Steve Lee, Principal of Lee UTC.
Right.
It's a rugby club. Lee's. No, Lee in Manchester, isn't it? L-E-I-G-H. Anyway, Bridgewood Manor Hotel, Waddeslade Woods, Chatham, 7:30 till 10:15.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Joe. We're at the end of the show once again. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsors, the Federation of Small Business for Kent and Medway. Absolutely huge thank you to Joe Dodds, the famous Joe Dodds, for joining us. Mustn't leave it so long next time, Joe.
No,
you must come back more often.
Wants to come back, so we'll have to try and do one in the summer if we can.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be lovely to see Ellie as well. So we do hope you come back soon and join us, but for the moment, thank you for joining in today. A huge, huge thank you to our guests on the show today, Mr. Simon Teague of New Level Results, and Jane Ollis, Managing Director of Rift Accounting. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show and bringing us lots of information and exciting things that you're both involved in. And it's a real pleasure to have you here. A big, big thank you to all of you out there, the listeners and businesses of Kent. Thank you so much for joining us and for inputting, for tweeting us, for emailing us and telling us all about what you're doing. We will be back next week with the Business Bunker Show. Coming up on Channel Radio at 3 o'clock, we have, at 5 o'clock, we have Mr. Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite. At 7 o'clock, 18 tracks of unsigned new music with Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. That's followed immediately at 9 o'clock by the Club Culture Show.